boy, if the Eagles can come up with their one turnover of the game right here, that would be sealing Brady with White to his right. Brady back again.
He steps up his head and falls forward.
He
fumbles the football, and the Eagles have it. It is recovered by... Now it is unrecovered by Barnett.
He's back again. He steps up. He's hit. He stumbles. He is throwing it deep for the end zone, and it is batted around and incomplete. And the game is over. The game is over. The Philadelphia Eagles are Super Bowl champions.
And now, Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks.
What's up, everybody? DJ, Bucky, and Buck. We made it. We made it, man. We've got the NFL season kicking off tonight, Thursday night football, ahead of a big week one slate of NFL games, man. I woke up a little spring in my step today. How about you?
Happy game day. It's a big day. Obviously, everyone loves to see the season kick off, the Philadelphia Eagles, the Atlanta Falcons. It just means that the NFL is here, and I'm excited about it.
Not just the NFL today. We're going to preview those week one matchups as well. We're going to jump into some college football because we've got a big week two slate of college football games. We're going to hit that. But I think we need to start off here, Buck. Let's not waste any time. Let's just jump right in here, right into the deep end. I got to get your thoughts on this whole situation going on with the Pittsburgh Steelers and Le'Veon Bell. Let me fill the folks in case you aren't familiar with this. Le'Veon Bell has been franchise tagged. It sat out training camp. The expectation was that he would show up week one and be ready to go this weekend, although he did not show up. That's a big story with Le'Veon Bell not showing up, but it's not the biggest part of this story. It's kind of the turning on him by some teammates, namely some offensive linemen here. Let me give you a couple quotes here, Buck. Ramon Foster, veteran offensive lineman. What do you do? Here's a guy who doesn't give a darn. Different word. I guess so. We'll treat it as such. I just hate it came to this. And then Marquise Pouncey, one of the big-time leaders on this football team. Why play hide-and-seek? Why let your agent say this? Just man up and tell us what you were doing. So it's definitely an odd situation here with their best player on their football team if you have that argument with Antonio Brown or Le'Veon Bell. One of the premier players in the entire National Football League has his teammates a little upset with him right now, Buck.
Yeah, it's kind of crazy. I'm out on the Pittsburgh Steelers. I've been out on them since the offseason. I'm just not a believer that this team will ever be a championship team as they're currently constructed. Talent on the field, they should be able to compete with anybody. But I got the general sense, and I continue to get the general sense, that this team is fractured. It's fractured in a bunch of different ways. From this situation with Lev Bell and the offensive linemen disagreeing, to Big Ben calling out the head coach repeatedly, to A.B., Antonio Brown, doing whatever he does, I just don't feel like this is a very cohesive unit. Now, in Pro Bowl, a lot of people have to understand that you have 53 independent contractors that kind of come together on game days. Whether they like or love each other remains to be seen, but typically you can get it done. But this team here has so much discord and what appears to be dysfunction, I just don't know how they can compete on a championship level, particularly when you have an offensive line that is violating the code of the locker room, which means you never talk about another player's business, particularly when it comes to contract. The fact that Ramon Foster and Marquise Pouncey not only just talked about Lev Bell not being there, but in Foster's case, he talked about, with a hint of jealousy, this guy's making seven times more than I make and all this other stuff.
Yeah.
Like, to me, that's very, very personal. And I just don't know how Lev Bell can walk into that locker room and really give it up for a team that certainly is not giving it up for him.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like there's some information here that we must not have. I mean, that if you're trying to read between the lines, are you with me on this, that it seems like there had to have been some type of private assurances or something that he had told them he was coming, and then all of a sudden he changed his mind and he wasn't coming? I mean, the line that I keep coming back to is, why play hide and seek? That was from Pouncey.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's why I think it's not so much that he's not – that they're upset, not that he's not there, but that he told him he was coming and kind of changed his mind here late in the process. That's the only reason I can figure it out. Now, I'm with you, and I didn't play in the NFL, and I still subscribe to that theory of you never talk about another guy's money and you leave business alone. But to me, that had to be what this was about, that there was, you know, hey, a wink and a nod, I'll be there. We got a championship caliber team, and I'll be there week one. And then he didn't show up. That has to, surely there was just some more of a communication thing than a contract thing.
A little bit, but even in that, things change, and things are changing by the minute. There may have been closed-door discussions that changed Le'Veon Bell's opinion. I think even with that being said, and if he said, hey, I'm going to show up on Wednesday, or I'm going to show up next week or whatever, I think players have to kind of trust that Le'Veon Bell's going to show up when he shows up. And maybe because they came out and they were so strong, hey, he's going to show up on Wednesday. But we never heard Le'Veon Bell nor his representative say that he was going to show up on Wednesday. So, look, maybe they felt like they had egg on their face because they were so bold and telling everyone around them that he would show up on Wednesday. But this backlash, this stuff to me says there are bigger issues beyond the contract situation in that Pittsburgh locker room.
Yeah, no, it is. I have you ever seen anything like this? I can't remember a time where I've seen anything like this.
No, but I think, man, if you go and you really look at the Steelers have been fractured for a while from – AB doing the Facebook live post after game, which put his coach in the crosshairs because the Patriots then had the information in terms of him talking about them. Big Ben repeatedly throwing his coaching staff under the bus when situations go awry at the end of games. He also kind of flirting with, I'm going to retire, I'm not going to retire talk. He took a shot at Mason Rudolph when he was drafted and all the like. This is a team that, look, I understand when you give people voices and everyone chirps and talks about whatever they want to talk about. But right now, I think the challenge will be for Mike Tomlin to rein his team in and to get them really to buy in and sacrifice one another. I just don't see how it can happen in this case.
You know, I'm just thinking about this, talking about being an interesting locker room there. Remember when they all wanted to stay in the locker room for the anthem?
And then Villanueva stands out by himself?
Yeah, he came out there. He's like, I'm not doing that. He served the military, so he wasn't going for that. But, I mean, it's just another example of another story where they're not all on the same page.
They're not all on the same page. And then ultimately, like, the head coach has to bear the brunt of it. But, yeah, this is a team that is not together. Like, everyone who's predicting this team to be the team that represents the AFC, I think you need to scratch your ballots, make sure you get your money back from the bookie, because I just don't see how this team is going to be able to do it, because I'm not saying that every team that wins gets along and it's a kumbaya locker room. But, man, we've listed six or seven examples in an offseason or in less than a calendar year of this team not being on the same page. The one thing you have to be able to do is you have to be able to play as a team. Despite being independent contractors, this team can forget about it. Like, I don't think they're doing it. That's why I told you the Browns are going to beat them.
You all on the Browns now. I'm questioning.
No, I'm not saying they're going to win. I'm not going to say the thing, but that's what I said. I said it early in the week when we did the videos or whatever.
You probably feel better about it now after all that's going on there.
I feel great about it.
See how James Conner looks here for this offense. I think they're going to chuck it is what they're going to end up doing.
Well, that's what they want to do. That's what the quarterback wants to do. He got his new he got his offensive coordinator fired so he can have his buddy be called play so he can throw it all around. I mean, it's everything. It's whatever number seven wants.
A little drama, though, there in Pittsburgh. Let's move through some of these other ones here quickly. Earl Thomas decides to show up. The Cowboys is reported. I think it was Adam Schefter that put it out there. The Cowboys had offered a second-round pick for Earl Thomas. That was not enough. The Seahawks said no thank you, and Earl ended up showing up to play football. So he showed up this week to suit up for the Seahawks. What does that mean for their defense, having a guy like that back in the fold?
Overall, I think it's another example. Like, the league is business. It's never personal. It's business. The Seahawks have taken a business-like approach to Earl Thomas. They weren't going to redo his deal. They have a level of precedence. They did this with Cam Chancellor. Cam Chancellor eventually folded. With Earl Thomas, Earl Thomas took it as long as he could without giving up a big paycheck. Shows up this week so he can play on Sunday. We'll see if he plays. What it means to the defense, they have a veteran leader. They have the only remaining part member of the Legion of Boom. And so he'll try and piece it together and patchwork the secondary that has a bunch of young players. I think the Seahawks still can be really good. A lot of it would be due to Russell Wilson and that offense being able to make plays. I'm optimistic that there'll be a team that can get maybe 9 or 10 wins. It doesn't look like it on paper, but I just feel like this team has a really good sense of where they are in the division, and I think they will play their division rivals pretty well.
I talked to some folks when we did the preseason game with the Chargers and the Seahawks and mentioned something about Earl Thomas, and the expectation from this person who's very close to the team said, he's not that's over. He won't be here. This era is over. So this kind of a surprise to some folks, even close to the team there, that Earl decided to come in and they're going to be able to to at least work this thing out for this year under the current conditions. He does make a big difference over that team. I mean, you talk about the best free safety in the NFL, in my opinion. How does that not have a big-time impact on your defense? So that's good news for them, a team that a lot of folks feel is in the middle of a transition, could be a down year. That's a nice addition when you get Earl Thomas. And I had heard a long time ago, early on in the process, that Seattle was looking for two twos. That had been mentioned to me, and I was like, I don't think they're going to be able to get two twos for Earl. And Cowboys offered up one. That wasn't enough.
No, I mean, I thought the second-round pick, if you're going to move on from him, you know you're going to move on from him. Second-round pick was probably decent value, especially because they don't have one. Is he more valuable than a second-round pick?
You're not finding Earl Thomas in the second round.
You're not going to find him in the draft. Like, just like with the Khalil Mack thing, and we're talking about number ones, it's hard to find the guy that you already have in the room. He gives them another chance to take one more swing, one more cut at the plate to see if they can be a playoff contender. But look, after this year, he's gone. He's going somewhere else. He'll probably be with the Cowboys, and he will take that veteran leadership and give it to their locker room because they still need a leader in the back end.
No question. All right, you ready to let's shotgun through these games here. Want to go through every game? We're not going to do this every week on the pod, but this is the first week of the season, so. I want to do a little nugget on each game, what we're looking for. I'll tell you what, Buck, I'll take the road teams, you take the home teams, and we're going to fly through these games. Sully, do we have that burr, 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 we need a little sound effect, I think, because we're going to go so fast on these games. Thank you. That's exactly what I was looking for. I didn't know how to describe that, but that was it. Well, let's rip through these games.
Ooh, and he's not hot.
Tonight, Falcons, Eagles, 8:20 p.m. Eastern time on NBC.
Oh, I love that, Cam. Nicely done. Falcons-Eagles, Buck, for me, Falcons. I'm looking in this game to see who else is going to emerge on this offense. I'm looking to see Calvin Ridley's role as a rookie, and I'm looking to see how Austin Hooper gets more involved in this offense. How about the Eagles?
It's all about Nick Foles. Has the clock struck midnight on Cinderella? Will he turn back into the backup quarterback that we've known him to be for so long in his career, or will he continue to build upon the momentum that he created last year in the playoffs?
Sunday, Bills at Ravens, 1 p.m. Eastern time on CBS.
It's all Peterman. It's all Nathan Peterman. Never has so much been made about one start. Had an awful experience against the Chargers last year, but was phenomenal in the preseason. So which Peterman are we going to see? And this is not an easy assignment against the Ravens. I have major concerns about where the Bills can block them.
For me, it's all about Joe Flacco. Joe Flacco has experienced a bit of a renaissance, had a great preseason, looked like he was a tier one, tier two quarterback. Let's see if he can carry that on when the bullets are flying. The Ravens' season depends on how Joe Flacco plays.
Jaguars at Giants, 1 p.m. Eastern time on Fox.
Let's start with the Jags here. I'm just looking at this offensive line and the addition they made with Andrew Norwell. They've tried to build a bully. They've done it successfully on defense. They ran the ball last year well. I think they even take it up to another level. I want to see if they can kind of bludgeon the New York Giants, a team that's been known for their physicality. I think the Jaguars are bringing a big stick to town.
For the Giants, it's all about offense. Offense, offense, offense. I expect the green light to be on. I look for them to go, go, go. Saquon Barkley, OBJ, Evan Ingram, and Sterling Shepard. I think this team can light it up and score points. I know the Jaguars' defense is formidable. Look for them to try and spread them out and see if they can shred their secondary, particularly when they start working on the nickel corner.
Buccaneers at Saints, 1 p.m. Eastern time on Fox.
All right, with the Bucs, everybody's going to be looking at the quarterback there, Ryan Fitzpatrick, no Jameis Winston. But for me, I'm going to flip over and look at this defensive line that's been remade. This defense needed an overhaul. They were very aggressive in the offseason, highlighted by Jason Pierre-Paul, a bunch of other names they brought in there to help fortify that front. How are they at the line of scrimmage against the Saints, one of the best offensive lines in football?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough because when you deal with the Saints, you're also dealing with an offense that is lights out. Alvin Kamara, how is he going to play as the number one runner? I know Sean Payton said the role wouldn't change with Mark Ingram out, but surely you got to make sure you give him more carries. I'm curious to see how they will use Kamara as the number one offensive weapon.
Texans at Patriots, 1 p.m. Eastern time on CBS.
Well, this one's easy for the Texans. You know, you got J.J. Watt back. That's going to be fun to see. But this is all about the return of Deshaun Watson. We saw what he did against the Patriots last year. Can he duplicate it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's tough because Deshaun Watson played lights out. And then when I look at the Patriots offense, I just don't know who the marquee weapons are outside of 87. But the system finds a way to create opportunities for the running backs. Look for the running backs to have great games. James White, Rex Burkhead, look for both of those guys to get 8 to 10 catches.
49ers at Vikings, 1 p.m. Eastern time on Fox.
Well, you know, look, Jimmy Garoppolo coming in to take on Kirk Cousins. This is the game where you've got Kyle Shanahan's two favorite human beings on planet Earth, and Kirk Cousins and Jimmy Garoppolo. So a lot to look at on the offensive side of the ball with the 49ers. No Jerick McKinnon, so his homecoming against the Vikings did not happen, unfortunately, because of the injury. But I'm looking for this 49ers team is on the other side of the ball. This defensive front has a chance to be dynamic with what they have in place. Can Solomon Thomas take that next step? Can the two big kids from Oregon continue to improve? We saw DeForest Buckner play at a high level last year. Can Eric Armstead match his former college teammates' production? I want to see this defensive line against a suspect offensive line for the Vikings.
Yeah, this offensive line may be suspect, but when you got a $30 million quarterback in Kirk Cousins, he's going to make it all right. I'm looking forward to seeing this offense. Stephon Diggs, Adam Thielen, Kyle Rudolph, Dalvin Cook. Kirk Cousins has the best supporting cast that he's ever had in his career. I look for him to go from good to great this season with his supporting cast. We'll see week one against the Niners.
Titans at Dolphins, 1 p.m. Eastern time on Fox.
Well, this one for the Titans, Buck. Look, Marcus Mariota, how's he going to play and how's he going to function in this new offense, this Matt LaFleur offense? I'm anxious to keep a track on one number, and that is carries. How many carries does Marcus Mariota have? How involved are they going to let him be in the run game? That's what I'm looking forward to watching.
You're talking about carries. I'm thinking about total touches, and the total touch guy that I have my eye on is Kenyon Drake. Look, this guy has been nothing short of spectacular for the Miami Dolphins in limited action. They're finally going to give him an opportunity to really carry the load. He was spectacular at Alabama as a runner receiver. I think the Dolphins are going to use him as a hybrid. Look for Kenyon Drake. He is the name. He will be the next great hybrid running back in the National Football League.
Bengals at Colts, 1 p.m. Eastern time on CBS.
For me, this Bengals team has a chance to be pretty good, a team that nobody's talked about during the offseason. Seen some flashes in the preseason, get John Ross up and running after a disappointing rookie year. But to me, this is Joe Mixon. Joe Mixon, a guy, Buck, we both as a football player loved coming into the draft. He can do everything. He's slimmed down. He's a little bit more explosive. Can Joe Mixon, can he kind of be their David Johnson? Can he take his game to a big-time level? He's got the talent. We'll see it if he can do it here against the Colts.
Yeah, with the Colts, it's all about Andrew Luck 2.0. How has he remade? How do they feature him in a new offense that features more quick rhythm passes? We saw got a little taste of what he could be during the preseason, but now, regular season, everything is coming at him fast and furious. Can he play with a new style, a new approach? That would be the test of the franchise quarterback for the Colts.
Steelers at Browns, 1 p.m. Eastern time on CBS.
Well, we talked about the Steelers at the top of the show. A lot of drama there in the Steel City, and you'll see James Conner in the lineup, see what he can do at the running back position. But to me, when I look at this Steelers team, Ben Roethlisberger starting to slow down maybe just a little bit. Some folks question that. I don't know. He came in great shape to this training camp. I'm looking to see if Ben Roethlisberger kind of rejuvenates his career a little bit and chuck it around the yard here with no Le'Veon Bell.
Ooh, that's a tough one. That is a tough one. I am going to the other side and the other quarterback. Tyrod Taylor has been one of the more efficient, one of the more safe, risk-averse quarterbacks in the league. That has helped him guide teams to the postseason. With the Cleveland Browns, you talk about a team that is trying to win games. The biggest albatross around the neck has been the turnovers from the quarterback position. Tyrod won't turn it over. He's playing with a better defense and what should be a solid running game. Maybe, just maybe, the Browns win their first one against one of their hated rivals.
Chiefs at Chargers, 4:05 p.m. Eastern time on CBS.
Well, I'll be at this game, Buck, Chiefs-Chargers. And for the Chiefs, what I'm looking forward to seeing is Patrick Mahomes and what he looks like at the quarterback position. I saw one start last year. We've seen him in the preseason. We joked coming into the draft process, screens and scrambles was kind of what he majored in. How does he play from the pocket, working through progressions? How does he perform? That's one thing I'm keeping an eye on. And then defensively, this is a remade secondary, especially with no Marcus Peters, a team that's beaten this Chargers team 8 times in a row. Turnovers has been a big – oh, there you go, a little money drop. The turnovers have been a big part of this win streak here for the Chiefs. Phillip Rivers turned it over 6 times last year. Can they generate turnovers with some new faces in the secondary?
Well, whether they can generate new faces or not, those new faces will be tested because that Charger receiver core is dynamic. They're nothing short of spectacular when you look at the collection of talent they have on the outside. Keenan Allen being able to do his thing as number one. Mike Williams showing up. Tyrell Williams, Travis Benjamin, they can stretch you out. They don't necessarily have a tight end because even though Antonio Gates was re-signed, he'll probably only play down in the red zone. Their quads package, their four wires package could be problematic for the Chiefs. Man, Phillip Rivers may go for 350 against this Kansas City squad.
Seahawks at Broncos. 4:25 p.m. Eastern time on Fox.
All right, with the Seahawks, I'm going to go very, very specific on this one. I'm looking forward to watching the rookies. We're going to see Shaquem Griffin get the start. That's the one I can't wait to see at linebacker. Great story in the draft last year. He's filling in for K.J. Wright, who's a little bit nicked up right now. So what does he look like? Plus Rasheem Green, another rookie out of USC that was phenomenal in the preseason. Let's keep an eye on these rookies for the Seahawks.
You know, when you think about the Seahawks have so much talent. But, man, they are facing a nightmare in terms of that defensive front line from the Denver Broncos. I want to see what the combination of Bradley Chubb and Von Miller looks like. We can talk about the improvement of the Seahawks offensive line, but I don't know if you can find two more polished pass rushers than Von Miller and Chubb. Let's see how much they're able to kind of disrupt and keep Russell Wilson on the move because he's not able to settle into the pocket. Could be a long day for the Seahawks.
Cowboys at Panthers. 4:25 p.m. Eastern time on Fox.
Well, with this Cowboys team, no Dez Bryant, no Jason Witten, I'm looking forward to see who's going to catch a football. That's to me the number one storyline I'm keeping an eye on. Michael Gallup is a rookie. Everybody's excited about the way he's played, the camp that he's had coming out of Colorado State. Who's going to emerge as the weapons here in this Cowboys offense? We know they're going to come out and try and run the football, and they'll probably be able to do that. But to me, where does the football go once it's in the air?
For the Carolina Panthers, it's all about Cam Newton. Cam Newton now has some weapons on the outside. He's done it before, and he's played at the MVP level. I think Cam is a dark horse candidate to be an MVP again. North Turner will unleash something in him that we haven't seen before. Let's see what he's able to do against the Dallas Cowboys.
Ooh, and he's not hot.
Redskins at Cardinals, 4:25 p.m. Eastern time on Fox.
I'm looking forward to seeing just the offense, what it looks like for the Redskins under Alex Smith here. You got a very mobile quarterback, a little bit different play style there than the guy that just left in Kirk Cousins. So are we going to see some zone read stuff from the Washington Redskins? Jay Gruden kind of open it up a little bit, let Alex Smith get on the move. I just want to see how different the offensive system is from last year to this year.
I want to see if Alex Smith is going to take care of the ball because one thing that I was able to take away from the Cardinals defense during the preseason, they are a ball-hawking bunch. Steve Wilks has those guys hunting and searching after the ball. They had 17, 18 takeaways in four preseason games. That is uncommon, unheard of. The last team to do that, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, that won the Super Bowl 2002. Maybe, just maybe, the Cardinals defense deserves to be an all-time great.
Bears at Packers, 8:20 p.m. Eastern time on NBC.
Well, this one's easy for me. Khalil Mack showing up for the Bears in his first game. What does he look like? What does Roquan Smith look like? This has a chance to be the two pillars of this Bears defense going forward for the next several seasons. Our first chance to see those two guys on the field together. I cannot wait.
You know, when I look at this, this is all about the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers returning. How does he connect or reconnect with his wide receiver core? Added some weapons, Mercedes Lewis. He gets Jimmy Graham. Now he has size to go with some of the speed and explosiveness they have on the outside. This could be a track meet. It could be the track meet Aaron Rodgers running from Khalil Mack, or it could be the Packers wide receivers running away from the Bears DBs.
Monday, Jets at Lions, 7:10 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN.
Well, look, every eye in the stadium is going to be on the Jets' rookie quarterback, Sam Darnold, the youngest starting quarterback in a billion years in the National Football League. So how does he perform against a Lions defense? Going to give him some complex looks there with Matt Patricia. We'll see how Sam Darnold performs. I know that is without question the thing I'll be watching here with this Jets team. Do they spread him out? We get a lot of empty. Let him be able to make quick decisions. I think that's probably the MO, the game plan there for the Jets. Get some spacing and let Sam Darnold get the ball out of his hands quick.
Yeah, they have to space it out because they're trying to help Sam Darnold play at a high level. For the Lions, What do they look like under Matty P? Matty P brings the Patriot way to Detroit. Detroit is a team that has always been on the verge of being a playoff contender, been in the playoffs, have been just narrowly missing it a couple of times. Can they be more detailed, more buttoned up, more disciplined? Also, can they find a way to run the ball? LeGarrette Blount, Kerryon Johnson, how do they, those guys play in the mix to really alleviate some of the burden on Matthew Stafford?
Rams at Raiders, 10:20 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN.
I looked all those big additions the Rams have made on the defensive side of the ball, and Ndamukong Suh, Marcus Peters, Aqib Talib. That's great, but I am fascinated by where this offense can go in year two under Sean McVay. They were outstanding last year. He seems like he's even more excited about the personnel he has in place going forward this year. We're adding Brandon Cooks, see the continued evolution of these young tight ends to go along with Todd Gurley. So many weapons there. We just need to come up with a nickname. They were the greatest show on turf. But they play on grass, and they're going to be playing on grass up here against Oakland. So I don't know what we're going to call that on grass. I mean, I don't know. It's first class on grass. I don't know. We got to come up with something. But this offense for the Rams, I cannot wait to watch them go up against this Raiders defense.
Speaking of offense, I can't wait to see the Raiders offense, because when John Gruden decided not to pay Khalil Mack but to elevate his quarterback Derek Carr as a $25 million guy, he said, I have a tier one quarterback. That means my tier one quarterback has to be able to find a way to help the Raiders win games. Let's see if Derek Carr is legitimately a top five, top 10 quarterback. We'll see, because he doesn't have the weapons on defense. He's going to have to be awesome at quarterback. Let's see if he has some of that awesome sauce in his game.
Well, there you go. We just whipped through every single game this weekend. Like, what we'll be watching for, cannot wait for the kickoff tonight, Thursday night football, and then really a great slate of games here on Sunday. Buck, I don't know if you saw this. I do this every quarter, put out the top 25 rookies, and this one is always the hardest one because it's off preseason, and there's no real criteria. There's no specific criteria to use. Look, you got to play. You have to have played at least a little bit. So a guy like Roquan Smith did not make my top 25 rookie list. As soon as he gets on the field here in the first couple games, once we get to the quarter turn, I guarantee you he will find his way on there. Saquon Barkley only played a handful of plays, Buck, but I saw all I needed to see. Saw the same guy I saw at Penn State, that first run there against the Browns. So he came in at number two on my list. Sam Darnold was number one, winning that quarterback job for the Jets. I had Barkley at two. Derwin James, who had a front row seat to watch him during the preseason, at three. Bradley Chubb at four. Josh Jackson at five from the Packers, kind of a ball hawk there at Iowa. We're seeing the same things there in Green Bay. Had Baker at six. Now he'll drop down once we start playing games because he won't be out there. Quentin Nelson for the Colts, seven. Josh Rosen, another one who will drop down because he's not starting but had a great preseason. Marcus Davenport and Minka Fitzpatrick. That rounds out my top 10.
You know, I love this list. I love lists. Can't never do enough lists. One guy that stands out to me, you included him, Josh Jackson. Josh Jackson was very impressive during the preseason. Got his hands on balls, did a really good job of covering. He and Jaire Alexander should be a nice tandem on the outside. James Washington, who hit 15 on your list for the Pittsburgh Steelers. It looks like the Steelers have found another star at the wide receiver position outside of the first round. He was outstanding. And then Rasheem Green, coming from the Seattle Seahawks, giving them a little pass rushing presence. That is something that they definitely needed. And finally, Michael Gallup for the Dallas Cowboys. Maybe he's the Dez Bryant replacement. We talked about the Cowboys needing someone to step up in their wide receiver room. This rookie has really come out, kind of lit it up. He looks like he may be ready. He may be the real deal.
Yeah, he's been outstanding. Number 21 on this list, by the way, is playing on Thursday night, Dallas Goedert. Do
Ooh,
not sleep on him.
Another one.
Because of some injuries at the wide receiver position,
friend
namely
of the pod,
Alshon
by the way.
Jeffrey. Oh, yeah, big friend of the podcast. Hey, Buck, I'm telling you, it would not shock me if he got a little bit more production and some more balls went his way than people anticipate early in the season. He can take up some of that slack with some of the injuries at the wide receiver position to kind of pair off what you have there in one of the best tight ends in the league in Zach Ertz.
Oh, without question. He should help them. I love what he's been able to do in the preseason. And they featured him. Without Alshon Jeffery and some of the other guys, man, he could get a lot of targets hit in his direction this day.
All right, Buck, we have to start cranking because we've got so much stuff we've got to get through and we're limited on studio time today. So just the three matchups, I'm going to list the three matchups. Just pick one of the three that you think is the premier matchup for the weekend. The three we identified: Jalen Ramsey, Odell Beckham, Mike Evans versus Marshawn Lattimore, considering the drama that those two had last year. And then we've got Kirk Cousins and Jimmy Garoppolo. So if you had to say of those three, what's the main event? What's the main matchup you're watching this weekend?
I mean, come on, this is easy. Jalen Ramsey, after all the stuff that he talked about in GQ, calling out all the quarterbacks, Odell Beckham Jr. getting his money. I want to see this. This is primetime matchup. This is made for TV. And I think this is going to be one that's very, very exciting because not only Jalen Ramsey, you got to deal with A.J. Boye. This tandem really made it difficult for quarterbacks and receivers to get off. But Odell Beckham Jr. is special. We may see how special he is this week against the Jaguars.
Well, Eli Manning, too, coming out and saying who when he was asked about that GQ article. That'll be fun to watch him. He might find out who Jalen Ramsey is this weekend.
That's going to be a fun game, man. Cannot wait. Tom Coughlin back against the Giants as well. A lot of storylines to follow in that one. We got to do our season predictions here, Buck, and then we'll get to some of these college games. You ready to roll?
Let's do it.
All right, let's go. Offensive player of the year prediction. You go first. Who you got?
Julio Jones. Steve Sarkisian finds a way to feed him, and he's going to find a way to get him in the paint. I think he scores more touchdowns.
All right, I'm going to go with the return of David Johnson, and he ends up being the offensive player of the year. Somebody I think people almost kind of forgot a little bit just how dynamic, how special he is, not just as a runner, but in the pass game. He is a phenomenal route runner. You can do so many things with him. I think a huge year ahead for David Johnson. He's my pick for offensive player of the year. How about defensive player of the year, Buck?
I'm going to surprise some people. I'm going to go with Patrick Peterson from the Arizona Cardinals. This is a guy that's going to have an opportunity to get his hands on more balls, playing a little more off coverage, playing a little more zone. That should lead to interceptions on tips and overthrows. Patrick Peterson should be a star in this defense that Steve Wilks has constructed.
All right, so I've got the offensive player of the year coming from the Cardinals. You've got the defensive player of the year coming from the Cardinals. My defensive player of the year, I'm going to maybe Buck. He might be the emerging star in the NFL this year.
I mean, you're going
and
all
that's
the way
Myles
in.
Garrett. All I think anybody in. That watched Hard Knocks got a chance to see what we've seen all along when we studied him at Texas A&M. Myles Garrett is a freak, and he's got a chance to have a big-time year. I'm talking 15-plus sack type year if he can stay healthy. Myles Garrett is my pick for defensive player of the year. Some good news for the Brownies there, Buck.
How about that? Offensive rookie of the year. I'm going to step on this one quickly, man. Look, I thought this guy should have been the first overall pick. Saquon Barkley, to me, is the guy you have to keep an eye on. I believe he's going to be the next coming of Le'Veon Bell, meaning he's going to do some special things, not only as a runner, but as a pass catcher. Look for him to spit out 100-yard scrimmage games like an ATM machine.
Yeah, I can't complain about that one. I'm going to go stick with my guy here in Sam Darnold. I don't know. You know, the stats are going to wow you, but he's going to be out there all 16 weeks, and I think that you'll see some good moments there from Sam Darnold. He'll emerge as the favorite there to be the offensive rookie of the year. Let's flip it over defensive rookie of the year. Who do you like?
Defensive rookie of the year, I like Bradley Chubb. Bradley Chubb, to me, is a surprise that he landed with the Denver Broncos at 5, but I think they're going to benefit by putting him opposite Von Miller. Look for this guy. They have 12 sacks as a rookie. He's going to be a phenomenal
playmaker. 12 sacks.
Oh, 12 sacks right out
the
gate.
That's a big number.
Come on, right out the gate.
Big number. I'm going to go Roquan Smith for the Bears. He's going to be a tackle machine, sideline to sideline, the instincts, the range, the explosiveness. He checks every single box. I think Khalil Mack being there is going to help him as well. I think Roquan Smith has a huge year, and that front seven for the Bears has a chance to be pretty special there. All right, and this is one I've got my big surprise pick of the day once because we're at the big boy award now. Mm-hmm. The MVP, Buck, who do you like?
Oh, I'm going with Deshaun Watson. Deshaun Watson.
That's such a popular pick right now.
Well, I don't know what everybody else is saying, but Deshaun Watson is going to light it up. I know when you score touchdowns and your team goes from averaging 7 points a game to 34 points a game on the strength of your right arm and your magic playmaking ability, I'm encouraged. Bill O'Brien has had a full offseason to craft and create new things for Deshaun Watson. Look for him to hoist a trophy at the end of the year at the NFL Honors.
All right. I told you I like my coffee bold, and I'm going bold with this one. My MVP, Buck, Kirk Cousins. He got all that money. Everybody said it was too much for what you're getting in a player there. I don't know, man. He's put up a lot of yards with the offense, not nearly as talented in terms of skill positions is what he's walking into here with the Minnesota Vikings. He's got a check down in Dalvin Cook anytime he wants it. He's got receivers that can win one-on-one on the outside, and he's got a great defense. So you're going to have short fields. They're going to put up points, I think, lots of touchdowns coming Kirk Cousins' way. A great team. A lot of times that MVP is the best player on the best team, and I think he's got a legitimate shot at this thing. People think I'm taking my crazy pills, but I'm going Kirk Cousins for my MVP.
Ooh, you might be taking some crazy pills, but I can see it because this team is built to win. They have everything. The key for Kirk Cousins won't be whether he wins the MVP, but can he get the Minnesota Vikings to the next step? That would be the Super Bowl. A Super Bowl or bust in Minnesota.
No question. All right, let's go. Speaking of Super Bowl, Super Bowl matchup. Ooh, drum roll. What do you got here? What two teams, Buck?
Oh, the Houston Texans versus the Atlanta Falcons in Super Bowl. Go ahead and write that down. You can get that. Go ahead and get your ticket. I believe this is one that we are going to be excited about. Matt Ryan bounces back from a disappointing season with Steve Sarkisian in year one. But in year two, we saw the results. We saw how he changed with Kyle Shanahan. I like this Atlanta Falcons team on both sides of the ball. And the Houston Texans, a lot of attention will go on Deshaun Watson. But that defense gets J.J. Watt back. And even if J.J. Watt is just an average player, you put him alongside Clowney, Merciless, you bring in Honey Badger, Romeo Crennel comes back on the sideline. This defense is a top five defense. The combination of great defense and a great quarterback typically gets you to the winner's circle.
Yeah, look, that'd be a fun one. That'd be a fun game to watch. I'm going to go, let's just set it with Kirk Cousins being the MVP. If that's going to happen, the Vikings have to have an unbelievable year. And I have them. I have them going to the Super Bowl here and playing against the Patriots. I actually have the Vikings beating the Patriots in the Super Bowl. The Patriots getting to the Super Bowl, usually that's like the surest bet coming out of the AFC. They have owned that conference for quite some time. And while maybe we see a little bit of slippage, a little chink in the armor there in New England, I have a rule. You know it. I say it all the time. I never bet against number 12.
Well, I wouldn't bet against number 12, particularly with the challengers around them seemingly falling apart. I mean, speaking specifically,
I said I never bet
Steelers.
Against him. I did. I just picked him to lose the Super Bowl. But I never bet against him to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean that's a nice pick. That's a safe pick. You talk about like really stepping out there. You really didn't step out there with the Patriots, but that's fine. That's good.
We'll see. We'll see what happens. All right, you ready to do some college football?
Man, let's get to these college games. So let's go right now. SC Stanford, 2-point game. I'm looking here. And everyone is going chalk.
Are you going to switch it?
I see Kent going Stanford, Sully going Stanford, you going Stanford. So I guess I might as well go Stanford because I'm trying to stay in the race. So Stanford all around.
All right, Stanford for everybody there at home. It'll be interesting to see how JT Daniels does first road game here as a true freshman. That Amon-Ra St. Brown, though, is the truth. I watched their game on tape yesterday. I even called you and said, man, Amon-Ra St. Brown's the best player at USC on their offense right now as a freshman.
Oh, absolutely. He's terrific.
He get a play against his brother, Osiris, right? St. Brown, wide receiver for Stanford. And KJ Costello looked good last week against San Diego State. San Diego State sold out against the run and shut down Bryce Love. But USC gave up 300 rushing yards last week. I think Bryce Love gets healthy in this one, has a huge game. Stanford wins. What's the next game on the list here?
Clemson, Texas A&M.
Oh, I want to take Texas A&M, Buck. I want to do it.
Don't
but
do
I can't.
It. There's
I
nothing.
Can't.
There's no one holding your pen. Go ahead. Go ahead.
I can't. Is it a clean sweep? Are we all on Clemson?
Everybody's on Clemson. They're number two in the country. They're one of the pillar programs. I have to see it before I can
It's going to be crazy atmosphere, though. I mean – At Texas A&M, Jimbo Fisher, there's some excitement there.
There's going to be a lot of excitement. Everyone's going to jump around. The music's going to be playing. Everyone's going to be yelling. They're going to have that rebel yell or whatever they do. And then they're going to kick off to the Tigers, and the Tigers are going to run the kickoff all the way back. And then that'll be it.
How about that bold call there? All right, let's get to the next game here. What's next on the list, Buck?
Georgia, South Carolina. Ooh, here we go. We got Georgia from Kent, Georgia from Sully.
Well, of course everybody's taking Georgia. They're number three team in the country.
I mean,
but not everybody's taking them.
Yeah, because I'm going to take
Give me the Gamecocks.
Oh, my gosh.
In the upset at home, South Carolina,
man,
the Fighting Will Muschamps.
Love this pick.
Yeah. I love that drop.
Yeah, I don't.
I hope it happens. I hope it happens.
Why do you hope
Buck,
it happens?
I'm telling you. I have
because
not. Because
as a Tennessee grad, nothing would make me feel a little bit better than a Georgia loss. It'd be nice.
Georgia loss? That's where we're at now?
That's
not
where we're
Tennessee
at.
Wins. We're
Tennessee has ETSU on Saturday. That's a dub. So I'm cheering against people on Saturday, mainly.
Okay. All right.
Here's the three reasons I like South Carolina. Okay. Three reasons.
Jakey Bentley?
I like the quarterback. Good player. Number two, my college roommate's their strength coach, so there's a personal connection there. Jeff Dillman is their strength conditioning coach.
You sound like one of those guys.
And number three, I talked to a buddy who's an executive with a team that's been on a tour, that's been out on a scouting tour, and he said he had gone through Georgia, Clemson, South Carolina, all these different. He's hit that whole region up, and he said, DJ, I'm telling you, South Carolina has got so many good, like, sophomores, juniors, like, legit NFL dudes. So And, I think there's a little more talent at South Carolina.
There, but who's their coach?
Ooh.
Oh, Muschamp's going to get him going.
Okay. No,
he's going to get him going. Fired
up. I'm going to take the Bulldogs.
All right, you guys go ahead. You
here we go. Penn State at Pittsburgh.
Are we all taking Penn State, right? I mean, I think they kind of got – we gave – App State woke them up. We threw some water on their face and woke them up a little bit, and they're going to take it out on Pitt.
Yeah, I'm going – it's chalk. It's all across the board. Michigan State at Arizona State. Defighting Herm Edwards.
They look great.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't think Michigan State looked that great. I'm rolling with Arizona State.
Oh, my gosh. What, Sully with the – Sully, you forks up?
Forks up.
Oh,
my roommate's going to be there. He's going to be loud and proud.
Oh, my gosh.
Look up Harry going for 200 yards.
Arizona State at home against Big Ten teams. There's like 11-0 or something crazy like that. They don't lose the Big Ten teams.
All good things come to an end. Kent goes with Michigan State. I am with Sparty. Go green. Go white. Sparty on the road.
I'm telling you, that 3-3-5.
Yeah.
It's hard to get ready for that 3-3-5 in a week.
It is until they decide to hit you in the mouth. Here we go, Nebraska. Colorado at Nebraska.
Oh, Kent, Sully, don't do this
Kent
to yourself.
Kent is going with Nebraska. Sully is going with Colorado. Wow.
I'm going Nebraska.
And I'm also going Nebraska. Scott Frost.
One thing about that, I do like Montez. He looked good last week.
That's why I picked him. Our boy Montez, really, really fun talking to the guy at Pac-12 Media Days. He's a good dude.
A really interesting player. So, not the dumbest thing you've ever done, Sully. Not the dumbest.
No,
that's not saying much.
Here we go. Mississippi State at Kansas State. Oh, Kent, Mississippi State. I know
Are
Sully's.
Are we all on Mississippi State? Sully's Nobody's taking
always,
Kansas State.
Sully's always going to take the SEC team, Mississippi State. I'm also going with Mississippi State Bulldogs.
Clean sweep.
Call. Oh, UCLA, Oklahoma. Come on.
Why is this game on here? We couldn't find a competitive game.
OU.
Come on, Kent.
OU. Straight across. Arizona at the University of Houston. Kent goes Arizona. Sully, Houston, DJ.
We were all on Houston. Kent's lone wolf in Arizona. I thought I was going to lone wolf it on Houston.
Oh, man.
Arizona looked terrible.
Awful.
On offense.
Yeah, I'm going
terrible.
I'm going with Houston on this one.
They got shut down. I think they didn't have a point in the first half, right?
BYU just bottled them up, and they didn't. Khalil Tate's just like a 5-step drop guy now, apparently. Don't let him use his legs. All he does is rush for like 200 yards every time out last year.
Unbelievable. Yeah.
Someone
I
coming
don't
home.
Understand what they're doing.
Yeah, I can't. Iowa State versus Iowa. Kent with Iowa. Sully with the Cyclones. DJ with Iowa. I am also with the Hawkeyes because when I was 8 years old and I played Little League, I used to stand up as a tight end because I saw Hayden Fry and the Hawkeyes
yes,
do it.
Yes, with your hands on your hips.
With my hands on my hip. So,
yes.
So, I'm continuing to stand. I'm gonna
stay I love that.
With the Iowa Hawkeyes.
You know who else did that for a time? Florida. Florida.
Oh,
Up. Who was it? Kenny. They had a tight end named like Kenny. Last name was Kenny.
To my Aaron Kenny?
Is that who it was?
The firefighter?
He would just stand. I just remember at the end of the line, I remember always just seeing him stand there with his arms on, on his hips. It looks so weird, man. Not flexed out for those that are listening to us. No. In line as a tight end, just standing straight up.
It's
great.
I did in Little League. That's what TV's a bad thing sometimes for kids.
The Iowa tight end buck is a freak show, by the way.
Oh, he's unbelievable.
He is legit. We'll be talking about him all spring. I can promise you that. Anything else you want to – what do you got coming up in the notebook? You want to promote that thing for us here?
Oh, coming up in the notebook. I'm going to talk about Blake Bortles and why Doug Marrone says he would love to see his quarterback have zero turnovers. And I'm saying it's not a shot or a dismissal. Also, Mitchell Trubisky, the time is now. He needs to wake up and play well. And finally, Derek Carr has all this pressure, why John Gruden has put the young franchise quarterback in the spotlight.
All right, there you go. There's Bucky's notebook. Check that out, NFL.com/BuckyBrooks. You can check out what Bucky is working on there. Be sure to download, subscribe to the podcast. Don't just download it. Subscribe. It'll show up for you each and every time we pop out a new one. We'll have three a week starting next week. You can find all our videos, NFL.com/MTS video, as well as on YouTube.com/NFL. Appreciate you guys leaving us the rankings and the reviews on Apple Podcasts. Always a big help there. That's going to do it for us, Buck. Big NFL weekend, week one, a great slate of college football games. Can't wait to recap it all next week right here on Move the Sticks.
Thanks for downloading Move the Sticks with Daniel Jeremiah and Bucky Brooks. For more, go to NFL.com/podcasts.